Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, brothers and sisters. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life, with a special message for the 2022 Marches for Life that are taking place across America. If you have already participated in a local, state, or national march, if you are about to participate in one, this is a message of encouragement for you, of gratitude to you for speaking up, for taking your part, for lending your voice to our youngest brothers and sisters, the children yet in the womb. And I want to give you this message so that this great activity of rallying and marching for life, wherever we do it throughout the 50 states, will be even more meaningful for you and will be even more of an encouragement for your deeper involvement in the pro-life movement. I want to thank you because, you know, when you do these kinds of things, you inspire others around you, you inspire yourselves, and you inspire me. We are a movement, the pro-life movement. And a movement, by definition, moves from one place to another. And this is one of the things that a march represents. You have a group of people moving from one spot to another. They are marching furthermore, not just as individuals, but as a group, signifying that this is an effort of many people to get to a specific goal. In a march, we are all moving in the same direction. We know what we want to achieve, and we have to achieve it. And achieving it involves a change. That's what this pro-life movement is about. We are working for a change on behalf of a very specific group of people, the children in the womb, to change from the position of being unprotected to being fully protected. This is a movement, and we're glad to be part of it, a movement that is symbolized by these specific marches. What happens at a particular day in a particular place represents this far greater reality of a movement that is moving every day towards that goal of protecting the unborn. A movement is looking for change because the current situation is unacceptable. To have a whole group of human beings, the children who are in the first 9 months of life, to be unprotected and to be subject to the daily violence of abortion is something that has to change. The sooner the better. It has to be changed with urgency. And this is one of the things that a march represents. People are leaving their ordinary day-to-day activities for a little while and participating in these marches because they're saying, things are not acceptable the way they are, and they're not going to change unless we stand up, unless we move, unless we get involved together and make them change. When we think about the change that has to occur, of course, we often think in terms of changing minds and hearts. And of course, minds and hearts do need to be changed. Those who think abortion is okay need to think again and need to consider new information that will help them realize that it's not okay, that it is dangerous, that it is harmful for the baby, for the mother, the father, and everyone involved. Those who think that the baby is not a baby, again, the thinking, the mind needs to be changed. The heart needs to be changed. Those whose hearts are closed to the unborn, those who do not want to even consider them to be our neighbors or someone that we're responsible for, those hearts need to change. And yet it's not just minds and hearts that need to change. It's laws and policies. When you think about it, changing minds and hearts is the solution to every problem under the sun. But laws and policies have to be crafted and have to be put into effect that actually make it illegal to kill the child in the womb. Because the protective power of the law, well, it protects your life. It protects mine. It protects people's possessions. It protects a lot of rights that we all have, starting with the one that is most basic and fundamental, that is life itself. And changing minds and hearts leads to changing laws. Changing laws also leads to changing minds and hearts, because the law is a great teacher. When someone realizes that something is against the law, that makes an impression on the mind and heart that there must be something wrong with that activity. And conversely, when someone realizes that something is permitted by law, it tells the mind and heart that that activity is okay. So changing minds and hearts, changing laws, it's never an either or. It's not like we choose one and ignore the other. We do both at the same time, recognizing that they both impact each other. And recognizing too that if you want to change laws, you have to change lawmakers. And that's where, of course, the pro-life effort, the pro-life movement, and these marches that represent the movement are also connected to the whole political world, and the world of elections, 2022 being a year of important midterm elections. The other thing about marches, of course, is that they're public. And this, of course, is saying to us something else about the marches we take part in and the movement that they represent. It's not simply a private activity. It's not simply a private issue. It's not simply a matter of something we believe in our own mind and heart or in our own relationship with Almighty God. No, it's something we profess publicly with our lips, just like the faith itself, something we act on publicly in our lives. The public event of a march represents the fact that we are to undertake other public activities throughout the course of the year to make a change for the unborn. Brothers and sisters, let's think for a moment about another dimension of these marches, which is, why are they taking place at this particular time of the year? Many people will talk about these marches for life as representing our belief in the sanctity of all human life from conception to natural death. We advocate for the life of every human being. And of course, that's true. But if we're going to advocate for the life of every human being, can't we do that in the summertime? Can't we do that in the beautiful month of May or in the heat of August? Or why are we doing it at a time in January where in so many parts of the country it's freezing cold, or we have to be marching through ice and snow? Well, there's an answer to that question. And the answer is January the 22nd, 1973. It was on that day that from coast to coast, protection was taken away from the children in the womb. And it was taken away by the Supreme Court's disastrous Roe v. Wade decision that was handed down on that day. On the first anniversary of that tragic decision, people gathered in Washington to call upon the government, consistent with our constitutional right to address the grievances that we have with the government, and to say, this was wrong to take away this protection. We want it restored. The marchers at that time, and I knew the people who organized the first March for Life, didn't think that it was going to need to be an annual ongoing event. And here we are now, 49 years later. But they were ready to continue, and they did continue as they saw that it was necessary, because change did not come about right away. But brothers and sisters, the point is that these marches and rallies are taking place on or around January 22nd each year, because this movement continues to be a specific response to the needs of these children in the womb, whose most basic right to life was taken away, trampled upon by the Roe versus Wade decision. That's why we do it at this time of the year. And of course, as our vision, as our ethic, we stand for the sanctity of every human life. Of course, we stand up for life from conception to natural death, all through the spectrum of the human journey and all through the many different attacks that human life faces. But that's a vision. That's a broad scope idea of what kind of future we want, a future where every human life is protected. That's not the same as a mission. It's a mission that defines a movement by asking the more specific question, what are you going to do with your time and resources to advance towards that vision of the future when every human life is protected? Well, the pro-life movement has a more specific mission than simply advocating for the dignity of every human life. And it's what we've already said. And it's what makes it clear that these marches take place now in January. And that is, we want protection restored to the children in the womb. We want to keep them safe from the violence of abortion. See, that's one part of the broader vision of the sanctity of all life from conception to natural death. The part that constitutes the mission of the pro-life movement, or the anti-abortion movement, which we should be proud to be called, just like people were proud to be called anti-slavery, is that we restore protection to this group of children and keep them safe from a very specific form of violence, which is that violence by which forceps are placed into the womb and tear apart limb from limb the living child inside his or her mother. Don't confuse a vision with a mission. The CEO of United Airlines is not going to be expected to simply give a talk about the value of transportation. That CEO is going to be expected to talk about the specific value of United Airlines. It's not just about the value of transportation. It's this specific company that provides air travel. So it is with our movement. It's a very specific purpose for which we march. We want to see abortion ended. We want to see the children in the womb protected, and never apologize for focusing specifically on that, because focusing specifically on that does not in any way imply that we're unconcerned about other issues. But there's absolutely no reason why a person standing up for a specific group of people has to feel obliged to bow at every moment and acknowledge all the other issues that exist. That's a given. Nobody should prejudge us, implying or saying that we're not concerned about other issues simply because we are called to focus on this one. Now, in focusing on this one, what is it that we do when we march? Why is it? How is it that we are marching? What is shaping our marching? Why do we do what we do? Brothers and sisters, as we march, let's keep in mind three different levels that motivate and shape our marching. First of all, we are marching as human beings. The pro-life movement is a movement that arises from the very depths of our humanity. There's one qualification needed for being pro-life. Not any particular membership in a religious faith or a political party. No, rather, simply that you are alive. It is being alive that qualifies you to know that life is good. It's being human that impels you to want to protect the youngest human children. We march as human beings because other human beings are in danger. And it is to advocate for them, to speak for them, just as we would speak for and advocate for any human being in any type of need. We march as human beings. This is not a movement that is brought together because someone from on high, some leader in the political or religious world, is calling us to come together to march for the unborn. This rather is a movement that arises from the heart. It arises and is created around the kitchen tables across America, around the living rooms where people are sitting with their children and recognizing that when any human being is in danger or in need, that is our business. That's why people rise up and write checks for the poor or send donations to the needy in a part of the world where a tsunami or an earthquake or a famine has threatened and taken many lives. We don't know their names. We've never seen their faces. They're not related to us by blood. And yet we understand that in the human family, we are indeed all one, all responsible to one another, all created by the same God, all united by the same human nature. It's that human nature that brings us together to march for life. On a second level, brothers and sisters, we unite to march as Americans. It is because we are Americans that we know we have the First Amendment right to express our views out on the public highways and byways of America. Expressing our views, no matter how unpopular they might be, no matter how much they might meet with the disagreement of fellow citizens or even the anger of some, it is our birthright as Americans to stand up and make those views known in the public cities of America, towns and villages and countrysides. This is a fundamental human right, and it's a fundamental constitutional right to let our minds be known, not only by speech, but by assembly, by coming together with like-minded people, including addressing matters on which we disagree with a government policy. The freedom to be able to do that is part and parcel of what it means to be an American. And we belong to a nation, furthermore, in which our founding fathers fought against tyranny. This is at the very creation of this form of government. You read the Declaration of Independence. It's a declaration of independence from tyranny. That any one human being should be able to trample upon the human rights of another is intolerable in the thinking of our founders and in the stance of the Declaration of Independence. They make it clear that our rights, the first of which is life, come from God. And that therefore, when a government is instituted, its purpose is to protect those rights that God bestows on the citizens. The government is not the one that gives those rights. And therefore, the government is not the one that can ever take them away or diminish them or their strength. The government is obliged to protect the right to life. When you and I march for life, we are participating in this great no to tyranny that our founding fathers stood for. A great no to the idea that any human power can oppress other human beings. That's America is founded on this principle of equality. And so we come to march declaring that if a government does in fact start taking away recognition of the right to life from any group of people, like we have done in regard to the unborn, that is a different kind of government from what our founders established, and that needs to be changed immediately. In fact, St. John Paul II, in a document widely received and praised by Christians across the body of Christ, the document called The Gospel of Life, written in 1995, says that when a state legalizes abortion, it becomes a tyrant state because it's no longer a place where everybody can be considered equal and the weak be protected from the strong, but rather has become a place where everything is negotiable and the strong, in fact, can carry out a war against the weak, as is happening now with abortion. And so when we march as Americans, standing up for the principle of equality rooted in the law, standing up as the people in the civil rights movement did when in that famous I Have a Dream speech, Martin Luther King said, "We've come here to cash a check, as it were, a check which unfortunately has been coming back marked insufficient funds. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds for the unborn. Just as our brothers and sisters in the civil rights movement refuse to believe that in the vaults of liberty and justice in America, there were insufficient funds to make them equal before the law, so we refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds to make our unborn brothers and sisters equal before the law. And finally, not only as human beings, not only as Americans, but it is as Christians that we march. Christians who believe in the words of the one who said, "Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me." It is Christ in the womb. When we see the unborn child, when we advocate for the helpless one, when we speak up for the one who cannot speak for himself or herself, we are in fact speaking for Christ. We are in fact recognizing that the humanity that our unborn brothers and sisters share, the same humanity that you and I partake of, is the humanity that was brought to the very heights of heaven in the incarnation, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, thank you, therefore, for marching for life. I have marched with many of you in your own communities, as well as at the annual March for Life in Washington and the Walk for Life West Coast in San Francisco. I have marched with many of you. I will march in the future with many of you, because we will keep doing this until that day actually comes when our unborn brothers and sisters do enjoy the same protections that you and I have under the law. Never stop doing it. And remember that as you march, not only are you giving witness to those around you and to the media and to the government and to those in our society who are not listening to the need to protect the unborn, but you are also inspiring those in our movement whom God himself is calling to do more and to say more. I myself was inspired to get involved more deeply in the pro-life movement when I went on the third annual March for Life in 1976. That lit a spark in me, and you can be sure that a similar fire is being lit in the minds and hearts of many young people as you and I come out again this year to participate in these events. It inspires us within our own movement. And it inspires each of us who are expressing our convictions in this public way to do even more in response to them. So thank you for marching. Thank you for rallying. Thank you for being part of this great movement. I assure you not only of my prayers and my readiness and all of us at Priests for Life to support your efforts throughout the year, but I assure you, brothers and sisters, we are on the path of victory. We are in a key election year. And these marches and rallies should be utilized by various groups to register voters and to prepare pro-life people to elect candidates who know the difference between serving the public and killing the public. And also, we're marching in a year where the Supreme Court may very well reverse Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs case. Deliberations on which are ongoing at the Supreme Court as we speak. This will be a momentous year for the cause of life. What better time to stand up and make our convictions known as we march for life? We look forward to connecting with you throughout the year at Priests for Life. Please go to our main website, endabortion.us. for the information, the encouragement, and the networking that we can all do together. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us march for life. Let us march for victory for the unborn.
Follow him, Father Frank Pavone, F.R. Frank Pavone on Twitter. He is the National Director of Priests for Life. Please go to priestsforlife.org.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.